When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There are homes that carry more than memories within their walls, places where time feels warped, shadows linger longer than they should, and the air seems thick with secrets. For one suburban family, what began as small, explainable disturbances soon spiraled into something far more sinister. The story you're about to hear unfolds not with the crash of ghostly chains or dramatic apparitions, but in the subtle, unsettling details of everyday life. A sliding door that never truly opens, footsteps that stop at the edge of the bed and whispers in the night that only one person seems to hear. These signs would soon weave into a tapestry of warnings, warnings tied to illness, tragedy, and a growing sense that something unseen was trying to protect them or control them. As the activity grew, so too did the fear. Was this a restless spirit seeking justice? A guardian offering premonitions? Or was it something darker, feeding on the family's growing unease? Whatever the answer, one thing became clear. This was no ordinary haunting. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, thank you for giving me the chance to share my story. It's not the kind of thing you'd bring up over coffee or at a neighborhood barbecue. Who would believe me? But in this house, strange things happen, and I've come to accept that it's not just us living here. When we moved in, everything seemed perfect. It's a modest home, but it has charm. It felt warm and inviting, with its creaky wooden floors and sunlit kitchen. But it didn't take long before I noticed something off. At first, it was easy to dismiss. Keys not where I'd left them, a door creaking open despite being locked. We laughed it off. Old house quirks, my husband said. But the laughter faded as the incidents grew harder to explain. The first real moment of unease came late one night, months after we'd settled in. I was lying in bed, half asleep, when I felt it. A vibration through the floorboards. My room is right above the dining room, and it felt like the downstairs patio door was sliding open. But when I checked, nothing was out of place. The door was locked, untouched. I told myself it must have been a dream. Except it kept happening. The vibrations, followed by faint footsteps pacing down the hall and stopping right at the edge of my bed. Night after night, I'd wake up with my heart racing, staring into the darkness, trying to convince myself it was my imagination. But deep down, I knew better. And then there were the shadows. I'd catch them out of the corner of my eye, fleeting, shapeless, and always just out of reach. They moved quickly, darting from room to room, vanishing as soon as I turned my head. My children never mentioned them, but my dogs, they noticed. They'd growl or bark at nothing, their ears pinned back, their bodies tense. For weeks, I kept it all to myself. I didn't want to alarm anyone, but then came the whispers, soft, almost imperceptible voices murmuring just beyond my hearing. I couldn't make out the words, but they were there. Always late at night, always when the house was quiet. My journal became my only outlet, a place to document the strange events. The first time the activity became undeniable was during flu season. My kids hadn't shown any signs of being sick, but the house seemed to come alive with energy. The footsteps grew louder, the shadows more frequent. Even the dogs seemed on edge, pacing the house and whining at the walls. Within days, one by one, my children fell ill. It was as if the house had warned me, trying to tell me what was coming. After weeks of cleaning, bleaching, and sanitizing, the activity quieted down again. I thought maybe it was over. But I was wrong. It came back stronger than before when the dread set in. I couldn't explain it, but I felt it in my bones, a deep, sinking feeling that wouldn't leave. I started checking the locks on every door and window, walking my kids to the bus stop every morning, staying hyper alert. I told my husband to be extra careful, though I didn't know why. And then, out of nowhere, I couldn't stop thinking about his cousin. We hadn't spoken to him in ages, but his face kept popping into my mind. I'd see his house in my dreams, his smile lingering in my thoughts. It didn't make sense, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong. One night, while my husband and I were out grabbing dinner, he got the call. His cousin had been shot and was in critical condition. I felt the blood drain from my face as chills spread over me. I told him, "It's his chest. He's been shot in the chest and he won't survive." My husband looked at me like I'd lost my mind. "They don't know where he was shot yet," he said, but deep down I knew. The next day, his cousin passed away, shot in the chest, just as I had seen in my mind. The activity in the house quieted again, but I couldn't shake the feeling that it was connected. After his cousin's death, the house became eerily calm for a while, as though it were holding its breath. I almost began to hope that whatever had been disturbing us was finished, but deep down, I knew better. About 2 weeks ago, the activity started up again. Small things at first, like footsteps echoing in the hallway or the faint sound of the patio door sliding open and closed, though it never moved. One night I was startled awake by what I thought were my dog's paws clicking against the floor as he ran into my room, but when I looked, there was nothing. Confused, I got up to check on him, only to find him downstairs fast asleep and snoring softly in his bed. Then it escalated. I woke one night to a voice calling my name. It was loud, clear, and unmistakable. I jolted upright, my heart pounding. My husband lay beside me, fast asleep, and the house was silent. I checked on my kids. They were all in bed. None of them call me by my name anyway. But I couldn't just go back to sleep. I had to make sure the house was secure, even though I already knew I wouldn't find anything. A few nights later, something or someone poked my shoulder as I lay in bed. Wasn't a light touch, it was deliberate, as though trying to get my attention. When I didn't react, I felt the covers being tugged over my feet, not once but three times. I sat up and whispered, "Stop." The tugging stopped immediately, but the air in the room felt heavy, almost oppressive. One morning, I woke up with a strange sense of nausea. My stomach cramped and I felt dizzy, but just as quickly as the feeling had come, it disappeared. I brushed it off, thinking it was nothing. Later that same day, I discovered my dog was sick. Really sick. He was covered in vomit and diarrhea, his body weak and trembling. I rushed him to the vet, terrified I'd lose him. The vet told us he had a severe stomach virus and gave us instructions to keep him hydrated and comfortable. As I nursed him back to health, the house seemed to watch me. The footsteps and whispers grew louder, the shadows more distinct. One night, while sitting with my dog, I felt the covers on the couch shift as if someone had sat down beside me. I didn't dare look. It took a week, but my dog finally recovered. Strangely, as his health improved, the activity began to wane. By the time he was back to his normal self, the house had returned to its unnerving silence. I couldn't ignore the pattern. Every time the activity spiked, something happened. An illness, a tragedy, a warning. I've tried to make peace with whatever is here. I've even spoken to it, asking it to leave us alone or at the very least to stop scaring the kids. Sometimes it listens, other times it doesn't. We've performed cleansings and said prayers, but it feels like this thing isn't ready to go. What haunts me the most is the question of its intent. Is it trying to protect us in its own twisted way, warning us of danger? Or is it feeding on our fear, using our pain to grow stronger? I don't have the answers, but I've learned to live with the uncertainty. Whatever it is, it's still here. Quiet for now, but I can feel it watching, waiting. I just hope that when it stirs again, it brings warnings instead of harm. Thank you, Tony, for listening to my story. I hope that by sharing this, I can find some clarity, or at least some peace. Sincerely, Sean. What do we make of a story like this? On the surface, it seems to follow the classic signs of a haunting. Footsteps in the night, whispered voices, and unexplained movements. But this one goes deeper, intertwining the paranormal with the emotional. It's not just about what the family experienced, it's about why. The events described seem less random and more purposeful, as though the presence in the house was sending messages, warning of illnesses and tragedies before they happened. Could this be a guardian spirit watching over the family in its own cryptic way? Or does the pattern hint at something darker, an entity feeding off fear and tragedy, creating chaos to draw energy from the family's distress? From a psychological perspective, we can't dismiss the power of suggestion and heightened awareness. Living in an older house with creaking floors and shifting shadows could naturally trigger feelings of unease, especially during moments of stress or illness. The mind is a powerful tool, and sometimes it fills in the blanks when the answers aren't clear. But there are elements here that defy simple explanation. The precise premonitions, the physical interactions, the undeniable sense of being watched. These are not the products of imagination. They're the kind of experiences that linger in the back of your mind, gnawing at your sense of logic. The most compelling part of this story isn't just the paranormal activity itself, but its connection to real-world events. Illness, tragedy, and even death seem to follow these warnings. If this is a spirit, what drives it? Is it tied to the family or the house? Is its purpose benevolent or sinister? In the end, we're left with more questions than answers, and maybe that's the most unsettling part. Sometimes the mysteries that haunt us aren't meant to be solved. They're just meant to remind us of the thin veil between our world and something far stranger. Thank you for joining us for this chilling tale. Until next time, stay safe and keep watching the shadows.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.